Cleaning Nation, welcome. I am so excited to hang out with you and my new friend Christine today. Before we jump in, if you are serious and committed to taking your cleaning company to the next level, finally taking charge of that bad boy and making it behave, go to growmycleaningcompany.com right now. Trust me, I'll be waiting for you when you get back. And check out the new video I just made for you about the five shifts you and your company absolutely must positively need to build the cleaning company that you've always dreamed of. Today, we are chatting with Pristine, not Christine, don't fall for that, Pristine Beers from White Lilac Cleaning Company. White Lilac has been serving the Matsu Valley area just outside of Anchorage, Alaska for just over a year. If you want to reach out to Pristine and her team, you can get a hold of them at www.whitelilaccleaning.com. Pristine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
I am so glad to have you. I literally think we've had more people from the UK or Australia or maybe even South Africa than Alaskans on the show. I think you are definitely top five, maybe top first three. So a very special welcome to our friends to the north.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
The only problem is
some sunshine my direction.
Sister, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I got nothing but it coming out of everywhere. In a short plane ride, you could be enjoying our lovely sunshine. We're recording right now in August, and by golly, I could we'd be happy to give you some of this heat. I'd imagine it's beautiful down there right now, or up there, I should say.
It's probably about 58 degrees and raining, so that's not my idea of beautiful, but.
I'll trade you. I'd rather prefer the sun. I haven't seen a cloud in weeks, and it's 115 outs. I will take 58 yeah. Raining all day, every day. So at least you can go outside without melting. All right. Now that we've got the weather report out of the way, I'm sure you all tuned in to know what the temperatures respectively are in Anchorage and Phoenix. So now that you've got that, we can go on to the far more interesting topic of hopefully growing your cleaning company. What's going on in your world today that we can help with?
Well, I recently had one of my employees approached by a client that we've been servicing for about 4 months now, asking this employee if she was willing to do some side work for them, basically outside of me, looking, I think, for somebody cheaper, obviously. But I have two, so this employee told this customer that she worked for me and she was going to need to talk to me first and find out how I felt about it. So she approached me and told me the situation. My concerns is I don't really know this employee is obviously very loyal to me, and she's a good worker, and I really like her, but she's desperately needing more work, which I'm trying to give her. But this client's work is an area that I'm not currently servicing. It's about a 40-minute drive from where we are established at now, and also it's a service that I don't provide, which is carpet cleaning that they're asking her to do. So I'm having the dilemma of how do I answer this question to my employee without causing any problems, and just expanding to this area. Should I do that? You know, just give me whatever advice you can help me with to solve this problem.
Well, this is what we do all day, every day. So I've got thoughts. So it seems like there's two issues and we'll kind of handle them separately. And I will say, just as an aside, foundationally, I have found with business, a lot of things intertwine, and for me, it gets frustrating and overwhelming when I try and solve three or four or six problems at a time, even if I kind of justify, well, they interrelate, and they all do, right? Everything technically interrelates with everything within your business. So a case could be made mm-hmm. that everything interrelates. That said, to the best of our ability, it is so much easier to make these decisions separately. So when possible, we kind of divide and conquer with questions. Okay. So that's what we're going to do today in terms of, I get their two questions and I get that they relate, but let's answer them separately. And once we do that, then we can kind of go back and see how our separate answers work with them being related. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cool.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, let's start with the easy one. The easy one is, I shouldn't say easy. Let's start with a smaller impact one. What to do with this employee, right? Whether we go to a whole different city, mm-hmm. big impact, whether this employee cleans some person's carpet 40 minutes away, less impact to your business. Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're going to break this part. We're breaking everything into parts today. Make it easy. Into two other parts. One is things that are the correct answer no matter what, and others are my opinion that you can take, and someone else might have another opinion. You might do it differently and have good results. And I want to be really clear when I'm saying this is just like the right answer and this is my opinion. So let's start with the good part, which is the right answer, because that's definitive. The definitive part is have a policy. So we do not want to say, what's this gal's name that's coming for help?
Her name is Jenny.
Okay, so when Jenny comes asking this question about these people with that customer who I feel this way about and I feel this way about Jenny, we kind of take all that into account and try and make some sort of decision, and we're going to have her do it or not. That's not how we do it. What we do is have a policy of all of our cleaners can or cannot do this work for these people. Not these people being Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, the customer, these people being in our trading area and not in our trading area. So I kind of have two criteria. One, is it work that we do? And if it's not, that would be a criteria versus if it is, right? So carpet cleaning versus residential cleaning, which it is you do, and you'll have to decide on that. But mm-hmm. You want to have a policy. And the second is in what area, right? So, and then also for what people. So if they're your customers, you might have a different answer for people that aren't your customers. Are they allowed to? So the three things you kind of needed to define in your policy. And again, honestly, you can pick any answer in this policy, and that having a policy that's consistent and written will be better than anything, right? Even if it's quote unquote the wrong answer, just having a policy that you abide by all the time is going to be much better than kind of guessing every time. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
So the criteria I'd use for the policy is the work that you do? So the difference between, like you said, carpet cleaning and residential, and you might say you can do work that we don't mm-hmm. do, but you can't do work that we do, or you can say you can do both. The second might be for customers mm-hmm. versus non-customers, right? So can you do carpet cleaning mm-hmm. for people that don't know us at all? Probably so. Can you okay. do other residential cleaning for people that aren't our customers? And I don't even know if mm-hmm. you can enforce that or not, but you still want to have a policy in terms of, is this something you are favorable towards or not favorable towards? And then the third thing might be, can you do work that we do or don't do for people that are or are not customers in areas outside of our trading areas in different cities? So I think those would be kind of the criteria that I'd break it down into. And honestly, whatever answers you give to those, as long as you're consistent and they're written and it's clear and you enforce them the same way with every employee, I literally think any answer you choose to any of those three questions, what work are they doing? What are, you know, how are they related or not related to the company, and where are they doing that work? I think you can answer anything you want, and it'll, as long as it's a consistent policy, to be okay. Any thoughts on that before we move on?
Yeah. And I did have a policy when I hired her that, you know, she wasn't supposed to solicit. And I think that's partly why she came to me, because she knew that this client shouldn't have been approaching her for side work. And some of the work is in their home that they're my client for. They want her to do the work in their home, but I don't do carpet cleaning as of now. So, and the other one is a residential apartment complex outside of my service area that they want her to service for move out cleans.
Right. And if you don't do move out cleans, that might be a type of work that you're totally fine for them doing. And I wouldn't solicit as kind of a, that's a tough one. I'd be more like, can you do the work or not? Right. And I think it'd be implied that no, or actually I would say, obviously there's no soliciting of any kind of cleaning work anywhere from our customers, period. But here is mm-hmm. work that you're able to do unsolicited, right? That's where I'd start. And again, I don't want to dodge your question. Like, well, you didn't really answer. I'm like, yeah, because trust me, if there was like, this was big impact, I'm like, oh my gosh, you could really screw this up. I'd tell you, you got to think long and hard. This is small impact. I'm guessing you'll have this happen once mm-hmm. or twice a year, if that. And you just want to have a policy that you can go to. So you think about it once, you spend 10, 20 minutes writing it out, figuring it out, deciding exactly what you'll tolerate and not tolerate. And then you're just done. You never have to deal with this again. So the good news is there's not a wrong choice other than having no policy or trying to reinvent the wheel every time this comes up with, well, what do I do? And I like you, but I don't like you. And this is that. Forget about that. That's the only wrong answer. So are we cool with that? And then we'll kind of move on to the bigger pictures, which are a little more global in nature.
Yes, that's great. A great advice. And I will make a policy.
Cool. Yeah. And whatever policy is, pristine, it'll be the right policy. I promise you. All right. That said, kind of stepping back, we're going to step back into, now that we talked about this employee in this situation, we're going to talk about all employees and non-competes, and we're going to step back into, okay, what about going to another location? So before we hit the second location question, I did want to talk about non-competes. And this is, again, my opinion, not the only way to do it. I am not a fan of lots of legal documentation and contracts and stuff like that, because I found the only reason that really comes into play is if we go to court, right? If I'm going to sue somebody, they're going to sue me. Mm-hmm. The judge is going to say, well, let me see this contract that you've signed. If it's not going to go to court, they can do whatever they want, regardless of what they signed. What are you going to do about it, right? So that said, I'm not saying I wouldn't have a covenant not to compete or a non-compete. And again, different states have different laws in terms of, like in Arizona, it's a right to work state, right? So there's kind of different laws. Mm-hmm. But that said, in this world, what are you going to sue them for? What kind of damages can you prove? They don't have any money. Even if you prove it, how are you going to get it right? Even if the judge has an injunction saying that to stop it, and who's going to enforce it? It's a mess, right? There's not really, it's one of those deals where it's like the lawyers win and everybody else loses. So I'm not saying you should or shouldn't have
a totally agree there.
Yeah, it's a mess. And this is between you and me, this isn't what I tell your employees. This is what I talk to you folks, owners in the industry. So I'm not saying have or don't have a covenant to compete. If you feel comfortable having one, have one. If you don't, don't. The thing I am saying is don't have a false sense of security. Right? Oh, we're locked and loaded. No problem. She signed a covenant not to compete. People sign things and don't do it all the time. So really focus on hiring with core values and attracting the people that, like, for me, it's have fun, make money, be real, help out. We didn't have a lot of that because we really connected with our people and they really wanted to be a part of the special thing that we created. And they didn't, that's really what they were there for, is a community, not the job. So it wouldn't make any sense for them to go somewhere else because they could still get the work and the job, but they'd lose the community, which is why they were with me. So I guess what I'm saying is really have core values and hiring the right people and having relationships with those people as your true, they're not going to screw me. And if you want to have a company to compete or not, fine, but don't have this false sense of security that that's going to protect and provide, because it more times it won't, isn't going to. Any comments on that before we move on? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Well, I know when I've got several employees, and she's the only one that she was my first employee that I had sign the paperwork, but I basically told her, I'm not going to take you to court. I just don't want, if you try to go in and steal my client, I'm going to let you go. And if you have that kind of mentality, I don't want you working for me anyway. So this is just basically a piece of paper that you're signing, but I'm not going to waste my time suing you. Just don't steal my customers.
And I take it a step further and say, if you want to go start your own gig, let me know. Like we'll transition you out and you can go do that. Right. Like I don't like them doing it behind my back on my time, like on my nickel. So it's like, hey, if you want, if you want to go start your own gig, God bless you. Like that's, let's compete. It'll be fine. But yeah, it's just the dishonesty. So I would encourage, a lot of my people, we had such good people, as long as they were getting a far better job, which typically happened, we got recruited all the time because we had a very culture-based community. People would come, just want to pay way crazy more money than what we were paying. And I never begrudged them, even if it was a competitor. I really felt like I was grooming them for bigger and better things. And that wasn't even with cleaning. That was when I had, salaried people making good money. With cleaners, absolutely. I don't want them working for me forever. I want them to go get a better job. So I still got guys from my construction company I sold 7 years ago. Oh my gosh, I'm old. That I still call and I'm still friendly with. And they've got their own company and I support the heck out of them. So I would always just look long term in terms of, hey, how can I value this person? We can always get more people as long as we trust them and they trust us. The relationship isn't broken. It's okay if they compete, right? Not your ideal, but you want them to go move up in life. Okay, fantastic. So I think now that we've got that big picture, let's now separately talk about going to a separate location, okay?
Okay.
All right. So first and foremost, I don't know where that came up. First and foremost, always build, and this is probably half of what I spend my time coaching folks. They come to me going, how can I get bigger? Or how can I start a cleaning company? And I always go, that's the wrong question. Or it's certainly, if not the wrong question, it's certainly the wrong place to start. The place to start is, what do I want my life to look like? Right? Do I want to work 1 hour a week or 100 hours a week? When I'm working, do I want to be cleaning or talking with customers or building systems or hanging out with employees? Or what is it I want to be doing? And how much do I want to travel? And what house do I want to live in? And what car do I want to drive? And how much do I want to give to my church or charities that are important? So ask those important questions in terms of, what do I want my life to look like? First and foremost, let's architect that. And of course, that'll require money, right? For the place that you live, the house that you want might cost X amount, as will the car, as will eating out or not, or traveling or not. So once you've got that life, we go, all right, well, what kind of business will provide that life for me? And we're looking for time and money, right? We don't want just, I've got people that are very wealthy, doing great, but they're crushing themselves. It's not sustainable. They're just grinding themselves up and, their business is firmly in charge. So we start with, what is it we want for our life? Then and only then do we look at our business, and we build our business to create that life for us, right? So a lot of just about everyone I deal with, if they're doing 100,000 in revenue, they want to do 250. If they're doing 250, they want to do $500,000. If they're doing $500,000, they want to do $1,000,000. Everyone thinks, whoa, once I get to $1,000,000, I'll be happy. Guess what? Once you get to $1,000,000, you want $2,000,000. Once you get to 2, you want 5. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that inherently. It's just making the distinction between, for me to actually have the life that I want, I need 150 grand a year. And that might be a $600,000 business or a $1,000,000 business. So I'm going to build that to get my life. And then after that, maybe I'm like, hey, financially, I'm fine. I just want to build the build. There's nothing wrong with that. But you just want to be really clear on what life do I want and then build the business you want that's going to create the life that you want, as opposed to I got to grow and whatever it takes, time, money, passion, relationships, whatever the business requires of me to give up, I'll give it up as long as it grows. We don't want to get into that. I know this is real philosophical, but before we start talking about a second location, we got to be locked and loaded in terms of what you want out of life. So you don't have to go over that with me personally on the air, but do you get that concept of, do you have or can you spend some time before you make this decision to go another area to clarify if you want what you want out of your business or what you want out of your life?
Yeah, and I have some very defined goals already in mind.
Okay.
And with the area that I'm servicing, I don't know that it can support my long-term goals financially because there's not enough population here without expanding.
Perfect. So as long as the goals are rooted in some sort of how will your life be different? What we don't want is, well, I'm doing $500,000 now and I want to do $5 million. Okay, how will your life be different? I'll be happier. I don't know. Will you? You might be more miserable. Guys doing $500,000 much happier mm-hmm. than guys doing $5 million. Well, I'll just be rich. Mm-hmm. Will you? What's rich? You know, is rich having $1 million mm-hmm. asset? Is it having $200,000 in income? Is it having, you know, what's rich? So as long as those goals that you've got that are defined are clearly tied to an outcome, right? Everyone says they want $1 million business. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants $1 million business are a pain in the ass. There's a lot of companies running around or a lot of employees running around and customers getting pissed off and systems breaking and it's just a big headache. What we really want is the money or the security or the prestige, or we think that that $1 million business is going to represent something to our lives. Let's just start with that. I don't want the $1 million company. I want the Rolls Royce, or I want the ability to give, or I want to feel special about myself, or something to do with my kid. Whatever that is, there's no wrong answer, but let's really be clear. That's what we want. We just think if we build this company, it'll give us that thing. So just make sure that whatever your goals are tied to that thing that you really want. Fair?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Understand.
Cool. So once we've got that picture of here's what we want our life to be like, and we've reverse engineered, and this is where a great coach comes into play. We've reverse engineered that, because the coach can't really help you with your goals. He can help clarify, but those are yours, right? I couldn't tell you, all right, Pristine, you need to build $1 million company and you need to work 42 hours a week. And you're like, hey, who are you? You don't get a vote, which is fine. But once you do have that clarity, now you want someone that's kind of gotten those same results with you to walk you through. So the plan might look, the first and foremost thing I'd be like, all right, in the next 12 months, so say you've got a long-term goal that you think will take you 5 years, you've got a short-term goal you think you get in 12 months. If you can get, and I'm just going to make it up, say you want to be at $5 million in 5 years and $1 million in 1 year, just to make the numbers easy. If in the next year you can get to that $1 million or whatever your goal is, and you can do it in your location without going out, don't go out. Okay, and I know you're like, well, but I won't be able to get to my ultimate goal. I know, but let's just get one step at a time, because as we get closer, sometimes goals shift. Sometimes things change. So we don't want to do something to accommodate step three when we're still on step one. If you say no to even hit my intermediate goal, the next 12 months, I'm going to have to go into another location, then that's what we do. But do you notice the one thing I haven't brought up at all is your gal being offering to kind of go out and do that? A lot of times we make big business decisions based on, oh, well, Susie's really good at carpet cleaning or wants to work in a different area, or there's this circumstance that makes me feel like this would be easier, and then we build our whole business relationship on that thing. It's, you know, the old adage of, you know, the high school sweethearts and the girl follows the boy, or the boy follows the girl to the city, and then it doesn't work out. I'm like, what the heck am I doing here, right? Same thing with you. We don't want to follow a girl or a boy to a different city or to a different business plan. We want to be really clear about what we want. So that's the decision-making process, is what are my goals? Why are they there? What's the quickest way to get there? And if you need to go somewhere else, we go there, irrespective of this current employee's situation or willingness. And if we don't want to go there, even if it's quote-unquote handed to us on a plate, you know, we're not going to do that. I got a lot of people like, oh, I've got a friend that has all these connections. He'd get me into this, you know, big left turn business-wise. How can I turn it down? Because that's not what you're doing, right? We got to be really clear about what our business plan is and it's how it's going to build the life that we want. And we put all of our focus and energy on that, and we don't look right or left. So when red herrings or these things that are going to kind of like these shiny objects are going to take us off track come up, it's really easy to go, nope, not part of the plan. So I know that's kind of general, but without having a lot more information, I can't help. Did that help you at least have the decision-making process to know whether it makes sense to expand to this other location or not?
Yeah, it does. And my biggest question, I guess, and I don't know if you can answer it on air, is that looking at the population of my current service area, how can I figure out if it will sustain my goal? Is there a certain percentage that will take cleaners or need house cleaning? So then I will know, okay, this area won't sustain my goal. I do need to expand.
Yeah, I definitely would want to talk to you a little more in detail for that. But that said, let me just give you some highlights. So first and foremost, you want to know, and this all, you know, we talk about a clean profit method. Step three is picking a niche. So we got to be real clear on who your ideal customer is. And once we have that niche, we know how many of them there are in your trading area. And I like figuring 10%. So if you, for you, if you're residential, and again, it may be different in Anchorage, I don't know what the property values are out there, but say in Anchorage, you go, I want married people who own their home, the home's worth at least $500,000 and their household income together is at least $150,000. And again, change those numbers for whatever your target is, but say that's that, that's your niche. Then we're going to need to know how many of them are there. And if you say, well, in my city or my trading area, right, maybe you're like, well, my city is only 2,000, but I'll serve the three small cities around me, which is 8,000. If you figure there are, you know, like if you figure there's 6,000 of those households, and again, you'll have to do the numbers for your area, figure 10%. Well, 10% of 6,000 would be 600. Well, if your average customer's $200 a month, that's $200,000 a month if you had 10%. We're not even, you know, if your goal is less than $2.5 million, no need to go to another location. So do you see how that works? We kind of A, determine our niche,
yeah.
B, figure out how many there are, C, multiply by 10%, and then if that number's, if we're close to that number, it's time to start thinking about moving on. If we're not even close, like the thing that drives me nuts is a lot of people, you know, they're in a town of 4 million. They're like, I want to franchise to another city. It's like, why would you, why make all this extra work? You haven't even touched the possible business revenue in your area. You know, you haven't gotten, you know, you've got 100 customers here and you don't have any of their neighbors. Why would we go to, you know, a town an hour over when you can literally just go next door? It makes no sense. So does that give you a good outline of how to think about it?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. I have talked way too much, so we are going to hit the lightning round so we give you a chance to share your experience with Cleaning Nation. As we do, Cleaning Nation, I want to remind you and personally invite you to go to growmycleaningcompany.com. I'm getting a lot of Facebook posts and messages going, where can I get this? Where can I get that? Where can I get the other? It's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. All of the videos, including the special one with the five ships I just made, all of the podcasts, all of the blogs, literally, I think we've got almost 1,000 blogs, podcasts, videos, all that at growmycleaningcompany.com. So please just so I don't have to keep answering that offline. Growmycleaningcompany.com has all of the resources you need. All right, let's hit the lightning round. Three quick questions. Christine, you're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, either personally or professionally?
Best advice that I've ever received actually is actually from the biblical writer Paul. And when he says pray without ceasing, and not only my personal life, but God is also in my business. So I do pray without ceasing to answer and seek wisdom in all the decisions I make. So that's my best advice.
Really hard to argue with the Apostle Paul when it comes to advice. So I'm just going to go yes, yes, and yes, sister. I got nothing to say, but couldn't agree more. All right, here's a fun one. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business so we can all hopefully make better and smarter mistakes as opposed to duplicating the ones you've made?
The answer that you get so most often, underbidding.
Every vote counts.
Just not listening to my inner voice that says this is not enough money for this job, and underbidding, and then having to fix it on the other end. And yeah, I need to not do that. That's a terrible decision to make.
And let me give you a quick bit on that. It's the same answer we talked about earlier in terms of systems. We have a system and a policy to bid, and that's the bid. And some guy might go, oh, I would have paid double that. Doesn't matter. This is our rate. So another guy's like, are you crazy? You're out of your mind. That's way too high. Doesn't matter. The rate's the rate. So the big way to get over that is not negotiate that every time. We have a system. And again, clean profit method, we talk about exactly how to do it. But it's as important that you have a system as you have the right system, right? So I like my system, but even if you're not a part of the clean profit method, or I'm not helping you, as long as you have a system, as opposed to, oh, that's Mrs. Smith and she doesn't have any money, or she's going to be mad at me, or whatever. I've been with her for 10 years. None of that matters. This is a system. This is what we charge, period. All right, last question. Cleaning Nation are a bunch of readers just like myself, and I love it. What's the favorite book you've read so we can all jump in on that action?
Crazy Love by Francis Chan.
Oh, that's
one of my favorite all-time books.
Such a good book. Has nothing, I shouldn't say nothing to do with business, but very little to do with business, but a heck of a lot about what we talked about how to, anyway, it's a great book. I love Francis Chan. That guy's a big fat rock star. Actually, he's very thin, but he's just a stud. Love that guy. Not a good business book, but a great book about life and spirituality and really the important things. So And I don't think anyone's ever said it, and it's such been a profound book in my life. So thank you for sharing that. All right, Pristine, thank you for joining us. I just love your passion, love your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Pristine's show notes page and the special video I made just for you, it's at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out right now. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.